Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good morning. You're listening to WYLL AM 580. And now with the pre-opening market report, here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you very much, Chris, and good Monday morning, everyone. Russia's consumer watchdog today says that an almost full ban on the U.S. imports of meat and meat products over the feed additive ractopamine will be lengthy. The head of Russia's consumer watchdog says that the country claims it has scientific proof that ractopamine is unsafe. Russia has banned pork, beef, as well as meat product imports from the U.S. starting today. Russia has pressed the U.S. to certify its pork and beef exports are ractopamine-free, but USDA has opposed the trade requirement, saying it breaks Russia's commitments as a member of the World Trade Organization. A National Cotton Council survey says that growers intend to plant the fewest cotton acres in 30 years. Intentions of 8.812 million acres of upland cotton are down 27% from last year. The all-cotton acreage would fall just below the 9.15 million acres planted in 2009. Applying state-level yield assumptions to projected harvested acres would produce a crop of 12.86 million bales, down from 17.01 million bales last year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 13,957. It's down 35 points. The NASDAQ, 3188, is down 5.5. And the S&P 500 is at 1515, down just over 2 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Portions of the western Corn Belt will likely go without much precipitation during the course of this week. While we did see a blizzard over the weekend that produced significant amounts of precipitation in the upper portions of the Midwest from eastern South Dakota into Minnesota, this blizzard that occurred produced significant amounts of snow accumulations and has set the stage for significant runoff potentials as we move into the warmer days of late winter and early spring. However, with the ground being frozen and frost running rather deeply into the soil, there's a good chance that the moisture will not reach down into the subsoil. And for that reason, we're still concerned about ongoing dryness in a part of the northwesternmost sections of the Corn Belt. And in fact, most of the western Corn Belt in general, we really have not seen a lot of change in the soil situation in places like Iowa. Many areas in Nebraska are still very dry. Same thing's true in parts of Kansas and Missouri. Even though we've had some precipitation fall periodically so far this winter, the amounts so far have not done much to take care of the long-term moisture deficits in these areas. River and stream flows and water supply is still quite low. And although it was certainly welcome to have the significant snow event in the upper parts of the region, it's obvious that we still are a long way from ending the drought. The weather pattern over the next several days, in fact, the next week and a half to 2 weeks, will probably not change dramatically, and in the sense that we will continue to downplay opportunities for significant precipitation in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt. An exception may be in portions of Minnesota and eastern North Dakota, where there will be opportunities for snow periodically, but you get further south in the heart of Iowa, Nebraska, and the odds become much against any kind of a big storm system potential for those areas. The lowermost parts of the eastern Midwest will probably see the highest repetitive environment for precipitation to come and go across the region, and that will likely take place over this next 10 days. I don't think we're going to see much in the way of dryness in those areas. In fact, the further south you travel in the country, the greater the potential is that you're going to see more frequent precipitation. This is especially true for the Tennessee River Basin, portions of the Delta, and even the southeastern part of the country, at least for the majority of this first half of the week. And we'll likely see stormy weather come back to those very same areas as we move into the second half of next week. We're also watching the potential for some very cold air to work its way through the eastern part of the country as we move into the weekend and next week. Some of the computer forecast models had suggested before that there may be a risk to Florida citrus country as we move into next week. I personally think that the cold air will be moderated enough that we'll probably avoid a crop-damaging event, but we'll continue to monitor it rather closely. In the meantime, the part of the Midwest, like I said, we'll see some brief periods of light precipitation, but we don't expect to see much in the way of meaningful moisture for northern Illinois and portions of Iowa back into Nebraska. Even Kansas and Missouri won't see that much this coming week. The Ohio River Valley, though, will likely see a little snow event, perhaps a little bit of freezing rain developing as we move forward into the Tuesday and Wednesday time period. That disturbance is not likely to leave behind a tremendous amount of moisture, but there will be at least some accumulative snowfall across parts of the region and a little bit of ice accumulation. The system will be followed by relatively quiet weather and another chance for precipitation beginning to impact that same region sometime over the course of the Friday night into Saturday period. Temperatures across the region are going to be seasonable for the most part. We'll likely look for high temperatures here over the next day or two, running mostly 20s and 30s in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, while 40s and 50s occur in the southeastern areas. Temperatures tomorrow afternoon will be 30s in the north, 40s in the south. We'll look for readings again like that on Wednesday and perhaps even on Thursday, but Thursday afternoon we'll see much colder conditions in the northwest part of the region. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Our 24th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is set for March 5th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We've got some of the best in the business presenting on the hottest topics, including farmland values for 2013, diversifying your operations with livestock, and, of course, our very popular soybean, corn, and cash grain panels. Our theme this year is Strategies for Market Profitability in 2013. Guarantee your seat by calling 217-333-7300. The cost is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and lunch. When you register with your major credit card, we'll mail your tickets good for our VIP line the day of the event. The number to call is 217-333-7300. And here are the composite trade numbers on the electronic front. March wheat at 799 and a quarter down a half in Kansas City. March wheat in Chicago, 751 and three quarters, down 4.5. March corn, 707 down 2. July, 695.5, down 3.5. December, 560 and three quarters, down 2.5. March soybeans, 1431, down 21.5. July, 1403.5, down 22. November, 1265, down 17. March soybean meal, $4.1470, down $7.70, now $7.80. March soybean oil at $51.02 is down $41. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Aaron Curtis of MITCO, and he is in Bloomington Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I would be better if we weren't having a full meltdown in the soybean pit.
Yeah, it's been a couple rough days here, starting with Friday and down, you know, around 35 cents there in the nearby month, another 20 cents here as we speak here this morning. Dave, you know, the U.S. domestic numbers on Friday were on the offset a little bit friendly, down 10 million bushels on the ending stocks, but the world ending stocks were a touch higher there, and the fact that Argentina was not downgraded too much, and the net result between Brazil and Argentina was basically a wash. Been a little disappointing to the trade, and now we're talking, you know, some rains in Argentina, some scattered stuff around, just enough in the forecast to kind of keep a lid on things, and trading below the 50-day moving average here this morning, so that kind of complicates the matter, too, a little bit on the negative side. So really quite a bit of liquidation here the last couple of days, Dave.
How likely is and knows that 1250 to 1260 area to hold?
Yeah, I think it's going to be somewhat important here to see some sort of support gather here. I know we're talking a lot of negative news for the new crop, both for corn and soybeans, with the anticipation of some bigger acres here as we move into the spring and talk of ending stocks growing. We have that mid-January low around that 1260 mark in November beans. So, yeah, going to be kind of a critical area here to hold, and if not, we could see some continued liquidation here as we head towards the Feb outlook, ag outlook numbers late next week, Dave.
And very quickly, a comment about front month corn.
Well, testing the 200-day moving average here on March corn at 705, so really need to see that hold in that $7, or otherwise we could open the door for some continued liquidation out to that early January low down around 680, Dave.
Thank you much, Aaron.
Thank you. Bye.
That's Aaron Curtis of MITCO, and he is in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, March corn, 707 and a quarter, down 1 3/4. December is 561, down 2 1/4. March soybeans are 1432 and a half, down 20. November is 1266, down 16. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.